Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
All right, this is Lee Cantor with Stone Payton for another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and today we have our Pro Win special. How you doing, Stone?
I am doing well, getting ready for my exotic trip to Cincinnati tomorrow.
That's right, you're seeing the world.
That's right, it's our Valentine's dinner with sister-in-law Charlotte and her crew.
Excellent, and then you're flying out, right, this weekend?
Yeah, you and I are headed down to the downtown studio. We're going to play a little while and do disruptive healthcare, and then taking the car to the airport.
Oh, there you go. All right. Well, today's show is another one of the series on where we spotlight some of ProWinds, which is one of the leading organizations for women networkers out there. And we spotlight some of their business owners that are members of that organization.
And we got a studio full. We're going to hear from Penny Cruz, Michelle Thomas, and Gail Rubenstein. And let's start with you, Gail. Give us a little bit of a feel about your business and what you're out there doing for folks.
Well, we have a balloon and event business. We have had this business. We've owned this business for about 22 years, and it is a 35-year-old business. It was one of the first balloon delivery businesses in Atlanta. And we've been growing strong ever since. We bought the business over from the original owners about 21 years ago, as I said. And we've taken it from being a balloon delivery service to an event planning and balloon decor.
Uh-huh. So this is your time of year, though, for the delivery side, right?
Absolutely. We're gearing up for Valentine's Day.
Now, how did you make that pivot from balloons only to events?
Well, I think with balloons being so readily available at the supermarkets and at the dollar stores, we had to make a switch in where we were going. And there is a very big need for event planners, and there's a very big need for decor that's a little less expensive than the big props and the big decorating. So, I mean, if you're choosing between floral and balloons, you're going to get a lot more bang for your buck with balloons. So we find that our decorating side of the business has really grown tremendously.
So did it happen that since you were already showing up with all the balloons and they figured, wow, you must go see a lot of events, then can you help me with my event? Is that how it kind of started?
That's exactly how it happened. When we get somebody come to us now for just decor, they'll want in anything from a tent to a caterer to linens, florals, whatever it is, and we land up planning the event for them.
Now, are the events typically consumer events, or are they business events, or both?
We focus a lot on the corporate market, but we do a large amount of bar and bat mitzvahs as well, and of course, you know, sweet 16 parties and all those types of things, and baby showers. I mean, the list is endless. We get the most incredible amount of calls every week from different, we would never think, but yeah.
But so the event could take place in someone's home, but it can also take place in a ballroom or even like kind of the World Congress Center.
Yes, we're doing, tomorrow we're doing a big event at the GICC. So we do a lot of events for at the big, you know, convention centers as well.
And the phone's ringing. You're not having to go out and beat the bushes so much. You're getting inbound calls, right?
Well, I don't think we should ever be complacent about anything. We still go out and make sure that we're networking and make sure that everybody knows we're out here and market well. But, yeah, we have a lot of repeat business. We're very fortunate.
So what kind of questions do you ask an event planner? Because I don't know anything about the event planning world, but from time to time, I'm going to have, you know, I got two weddings that I know are out there, hopefully not right around the corner. You got your graduation. What kind of questions should I be asking an event planner to decide whether or not I'm going to engage them?
Well, I think a very important thing is your event planner needs to be a very organized individual. I'm a certified event planner, so I've actually done training, and I've learned exactly how to plan an event. My certification is called a CSEP, which is Certified Special Event Planner. And it's just important that the event planner you hire is going to be cool and calm and not freak out when something goes wrong, because something will go wrong at every event, and you just have to know how to plan B.
Now, how do you manage the expectations of the person? Because when you're doing an event, a lot of times this is, you know, one of the most important things for this individual or this family, you know, that they're going to do in a decade or in a lifetime sometimes. How do you kind of calm them down and work with it? It sounds like part of your role is part therapist.
It is part therapist. And you get, you know, when you're working with corporations, it's a whole lot easier because they choose what they want. They have a budget.
And they're
that's
not
what
like
you work
as
on.
Emotionally invested.
Exactly.
You know, when
but
it's
when
your,
you, right. That's right. But when you're working with a bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah mother or a wedding or somebody that's very emotionally involved in their event, then emotions do come into play, and you find that they freak out about, you know, really,
you know,
silly,
like,
things. And
this doesn't look like the yellow that was in the picture, you know, and it's like,
absolutely,
okay, you know, how am I going to make that balloon a different shade of yellow now?
That's a reality show, Bar Mitzvah Mother. I think that's a great concept for a new reality show.
Yeah, but it's just, you just need to keep them calm and make and reassure them and say, why don't you just arrive, you know, looking pretty, and I promise you your room's going to look good. And it does. You know, we always pull it together. We make it look good.
So on the corporate side, is it a good idea to go with some sort of theme? Do you do a lot of theme type stuff?
A lot of them go with like a marketing theme. If they're doing something, we sometimes use the logo. We sometimes bring the logo and the corporate colors into whatever we're doing.
Do you help them with like trade shows and things like
that?
Yes. So they'll say, hey, we're going to be at a trade show at some city. Can you help us kind of decorate our booth or kind of make the booth look good?
Yes, and we'll do signage. One of the biggest events that we do is a Peachtree Road Race, and we do the signage for the Peachtree Road Race. And the way we do this is we send signs up, like big, you know, the alphabet and the first aid signs with huge big balloons that hold them up at Piedmont Park. So,
oh,
so
cool.
When people run into the park, they can know where to go and where to,
right, because
you're
dealing
with
how many
t-shirt.
People are there, like 60,000 people.
Exactly.
So they have to see the stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, we do anything from that, you know, as I say, the very small delivery of, you know, 20 balloon bouquets or 5 balloon bouquets up to, you know, huge big things like that.
Now, is your business primarily here in Atlanta, or is it all over the country, world?
I'd like to say it was all over the world. we have traveled. We travel a little bit. We've done stuff around the United States in different cities with certain corporate clients that really want to work with us. But we are primarily based here in Atlanta. Our offices are in Midtown, and we're very close to Atlantic Station, so we're right in the heart of what goes on. And we just go wherever something's needed. I mean, you know, we'll go wherever the money is.
Now, how many corporate events do you do? Do you do like every week you're doing a corporate event somewhere? Because there's a lot of venues here in town for that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. I would say an average week we're doing. It sounds like a lot, but some of them are small and some of them are larger. But we average about 10 to 12 events a week.
It sounds like an awful lot. When you have to be so versatile, because one day you're doing a 10x10 booth, the next day you're doing something like the Grand Atrium down at 200 and even larger. Wow. And you got to have a whole different methodology, right? When you know you're doing a big space, you got a whole different set of considerations. Yeah?
Absolutely. But I'm very fortunate because we've got an incredible team. And we've got really good decorators and people that are innovative and that I can send out and do things and that can create and think, you know, on their feet.
Now, when you're working with an individual or a company and you're trying to create a theme, how does that conversation kind of go? Can you walk us through it?
I'm doing one for a company right now that's I think they run nursing homes, and it's their 20th anniversary. And we've done it for them in the past, and they've wanted to always do a theme. But because it's their 20th, now we had to come up with a theme.
Something around
the 20th. So what we've done is we've done like a huge big 20 all over the place, and their logo is a bird. And the bird kind of flies off this logo. And, you know, from that event is, it's kind of how we'll sit down, we'll send them pictures, we'll give them ideas, we'll draw up plans, and then if they like it, then we go on, you know, we move into it a little bit deeper and see where they want to go with everything.
So tell us a little bit about your involvement with ProWin. Yeah, it sounds like you feel like you're getting some value out of that.
Because networking is important, you said.
Absolutely. ProWin, I have really been going involved with ProWin from the very, very, very start.
Oh, yeah?
I think when it was first started, I went to a couple of lunches, and I became a member. And then I kind of petered off because there was just, you know, so much going on in our company. But I go to as many meetings as I can. I am a member. I'm not a terribly active member because I'm, you know, because my business really does keep me busy.
Because it worked.
Yeah, right. Because I have to work.
Right.
But I do try and attend every meeting and their social functions. And we've planned some of their holiday parties. And, you know, they're really, it's a great group of women. They are just, it's just wonderful to nurture friendships like that. And that's exactly what it is. It's just creating these relationships.
Now, ProWin is kind of a general, like, you don't, that's not a specific niche, right? It's just women in general that are in business. Are you involved in any kind of niche meeting or event organizations as well?
There are several meeting planning places that I attend. There's ISIS, which is the International Special Events Society. There's NACE, which is the National Catering Society. There's MPI, which is a very large corporation, a very large organization. It's Meeting Planners International. This is an international one. So you really need to keep your finger on the pulse.
So you're involved in those as well as
yes.
ProWin?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So, wow.
And then if you ever get asked to help decorate, wouldn't you be super nervous? It'd be like being asked to speak at the National Speakers
right.
Association.
Absolutely, yes.
So yeah. Now, if someone's making a decision, like you went with balloons, like if somebody wanted flowers, you send them somewhere else? Like,
no.
Do you go all in with balloons, or you still would do flowers?
No, we do. We have a floral department.
Uh-huh.
We have a prop department. We build props per specification. We're pretty much all inclusive of anything you need. We have linens, but we also rent linens, so we'll send them to a linen company, or we'll bring linens in from a linen company.
Wow.
I think we should get a consultation. We just, this morning before we went on the air, went from black microphone covers to red. We thought they were a darker red.
Well, no,
Is it Bozo the Clown, or is it looking
I
good?
I think they look really good. I mean, they really look good in here.
All right, there's a one yes vote.
Okay.
Well, so
she's an expert, so that counts as another one.
Hey, I'm going to take it. What's the best way for our listeners to reach out and get some counsel from you and putting an event together?
Well, we have a website, and that's www.balloonsover.com, and we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook. We are on Pinterest, so we've got a lot of pictures up there. If you ever want to see, get some ideas.
Yeah, that's ideal.
And then, of course, our phone number is 404-231-3090, and there's always somebody there waiting to take your
call. There's time if you are still doing something for Valentine's Day. There's still...
Yes, absolutely. We've got some great, great ideas for Valentine's Day. We also have a gift basket department, so for Valentine's Day, we make it really fun.
Oh, so that someone can just go in and grab something?
You can go in and grab, but we also deliver all over the city, so if anybody
Man.
Needs anything, just give us a call.
You guys do it all.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Well, thank you so much, Gail Rubenstein, or is it Stein?
Steen.
Steen. Gail Rubenstein with Balloons at Events Over Atlanta. How about hanging out with us for a little bit while we visit with our other guests?
I would love to. Thank you.
Terrific. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce from Lane McVicker, Miss Penny Cruz. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
I saw you nodding your head a lot. You seem to have some real appreciation for this whole event planning thing.
Yeah, it sounds exciting. Yes, definitely.
So tell us a little bit about your organization. What kind of problems you're out there solving?
Well, we are a personal lines insurance brokerage firm where we do property and casualty only insurance. So basically that means that we're not offering life insurance or health insurance or medical benefits. We strictly are looking at something that an individual owns.
Stuff.
We call it toys.
Toys.
Yes. The more toys, the better. The more complicated, the better.
So you have a system that can handle that kind of complexity?
Yes. The target market for us is more of a higher net worth, affluent individual that owns maybe multiple homes throughout the United States, multiple autos, watercraft, collections. We love fine art collections, wine collections.
So so how does that kind of relationship work? Do you have to go through with like a video camera and document everything, or how do you kind of keep track of all that stuff?
Well, coincidentally, one of the services that Lane McVicker offers to some of our clients is I do have the pleasure of going into some of our clients' homes and videotaping. We do it on a DVD, and I go through the entire home, all levels, and once I finish the DVD, I hand it to the client. So for security reasons, we do not keep a copy,
right?
Or you know, have one in our office or anything. So
what's the craziest thing you've seen?
I don't know so much crazy as just absolutely
beautiful.
Beautiful. One of the most beautiful places I had the opportunity to go in is a penthouse condo in Naples, Florida.
Oh, so you go
right
all over?
All over.
Wow, what a great job. Though.
It is.
Fun.
Yeah, unlike many of the direct writers, mm-hmm. I can write in all 50 states. So I have clients all over the United States. I have referral sources all over the United States. So I get to travel some.
So now, what was a beautiful thing you saw?
Well, this was a penthouse, as I said, brand new. And it had so many rooms, so much square footage, I literally got lost.
You got lost inside of the
penthouse. I got lost inside of the penthouse. I would forget which direction, you know, I had come from. I mean, because I was trying to take in the views. The entire penthouse had a view of the ocean. So it was just beautiful.
So you like took a nap?
No.
Three bears.
I was actually meeting with the personal assistant, and she offered me lunch before I left, which, you know, was very nice. But, so I have seen some most beautiful homes throughout the country.
So let's walk this through a little bit. Let's say that you were going to help Lee insure his Ferrari garage. What happens first? You guys sit down and talk it through. Walk us through what that engagement looks like.
Okay, basically for us.
But do you work with me or do you work with my personal assistant? Because I'm very busy.
I would prefer to work with you, but I'm happy to work with your personal assistant, as well as your financial planner, your attorney.
All of them, right?
All of your people, everybody.
Yeah, perfect.
What we typically are looking for is to begin with copies of your current declaration pages. We are full service, all-encompassing, which means we don't want to start with just that Ferrari. We would like to start with the Ferrari and add your homes and your other autos and your umbrella and watercraft, should there be any, ATVs. Basically, anything that you own personally, we want to look at the whole picture to be a complete risk management review for you.
Right.
So that's the best way to do it. And then when you go to a carrier, should you have a home, for instance, that's coastal or a home that is in brush fire area, then we have a little bit more leverage to get you a better type policy and premium.
Now, what is the person doing before they work with you? Do they have nothing or they're just coming from another carrier?
Typically, they would be coming from another carrier because we are looking for the individual that has their primary home insurable value $750 or higher. Mm-hmm. So most young people starting out are not fortunate enough to start at that level. So usually they're with a carrier, and many times they're with multiple carriers.
And that's the problem?
And that's the problem.
Right. So if they have multiple carriers, they can kind of get rid of them and just use you, and then
Correct.
It's kind of one-stop shopping.
Exactly. Yeah. So like when we have the hurricanes or the tornadoes that come through and a tree falls down on your car and your house, you have one carrier, one phone call to make.
Right.
So it's much, much simpler for you and less complicated.
Now, after you do this video and you hand them the DVD, they can't leave the DVD there, right? They have to put it like in a safety deposit box or somewhere?
Correct. We advise them to put the DVD off premises or in a safe deposit box, either one, And, you know, should they ever have more of a catastrophic type loss, they can pull that DVD out and, you know, they see things that they'd completely forgotten they owned. Because I do closets. I do.
You're very thorough.
I'm very thorough.
Sure sounds like it. Now, yes. You're underwriter agnostic, or I don't know what the right term is, but you're not tied to one provider.
Correct. We are a broker, which means we represent multiple insurance companies. So unlike a direct writer that an agent works just for their company, I have multiple companies that I work with. I mean, we work with Ace, Chubb Insurance Group, AIG, Pure, and Fireman's Fund. And we work with Progressive in the sense for someone that has maybe a motorcycle or
well, everybody
a
loves
boat.
Flo. Flo rocks.
Yes.
She's got Flo on speed dial.
Right.
Best of friends.
So what kind of mistakes do you find that people make or may very well make if they don't sit down and have a conversation with you when it comes to this business of property and casualty?
First and foremost, most individuals, their homes are undervalued, underinsured, because the market we're in today says, I can't sell my home for what I paid for it, or I just bought my home and, you know, I paid X number of dollars for it. And what we're looking for is to insure the home at a replacement cost, rebuilding, reconstruction, replacement. So, for instance, in Atlanta, you know, it could be anywhere from maybe 250 a square foot to 500-600 a square foot. But that does not coincide with what you paid for it or what you could sell it for. So that's a big challenge for us right now.
Now, how do you keep up with them acquiring new stuff?
Very good question.
Because if you have a $750,000 home, you're probably in acquiring mode a lot, aren't you?
Yes. Hopefully you are.
So you like check in with them every so often to do a new video?
We do. Well, we don't always do a new video, but each year, usually 60 to 90 days prior to renewal, we do a 1 or 2 page summary of insurance, quick glance, mm-hmm. that lists out everything we insure.
So that when you're doing the video, you're writing this stuff down as well?
No, I don't really keep a record of it because it is ever-changing. The video is mainly in the event of a catastrophic loss. It would be a tool for that individual to go back and try to remember to work with an adjuster. Mm-hmm. So what I'm trying to do throughout the year is really insure the bigger things. Did you buy a new condo, a new house, a new car? Do you have an underage driver that now has a driver's license? Have you gotten into collecting, you know, very expensive wine? Did you buy your wife a new piece of jewelry? Did you travel to Europe and buy new artwork? So that's typically what I'm trying to find out.
So the bigger stuff.
Yes, yes.
So do you find yourself hanging out with financial services folks, lawyers? I mean, that's your posse, right? You're
yes.
all helping each other out, and you're all trying to work together to serve the client?
Yes, correct. We do not advertise. So the only way to really find out about us is through one of our valued lead sources or through a client. And usually we work with, I do a lot of networking with financial planners, state attorneys, you know, someone that works with the higher net worth affluent individuals to begin with, while they're trying to help them protect and acquire greater wealth as well as material things, then I want to come into the picture to help ensure those things.
And so, you're serving those people, you're serving those professionals, and you're serving the clients.
Correct.
Everybody wins, but that's got to be a very well-trusted group of folks. I mean, you guys
yes.
really have to have a lot of trust in each other and be very invested in those relationships and watching each other's back.
Yes. As a matter of fact, we refer to them as trusted advisors.
Uh-huh.
So, yes.
So now, do people in your world, like, do you have a handful that you go to all the time, or do you meet them all over the place, these trusted advisors?
Well, I do a lot of networking here in Atlanta. I'm in several different groups and a member of one of the clubs here that does a lot of business networking. Mm-hmm. And then our company does our own networking events, if you will. And so we are constantly cultivating new lead sources because there's so many out there.
Right.
You know, we do have our specific ones that we work with over and over and over, but at the same time, we're bringing in new ones. So.
And so most of these clients, these kind of folks with Lee Cantor level money, does it make sense for them to have an umbrella policy? And I'm using that term, and I don't really know what it means. I just have this picture of what it might mean. No, can you speak?
I happen to have a collection of umbrellas, so it could have two meanings here.
And today we need those collection of umbrellas, yes. Yes, a liability policy can be referred to as an excess liability or an umbrella policy. And everyone needs to have at least $1 million. And as your salary increases or your net worth increases, you should begin to consider higher limits. We usually look at $5 million, sometimes $10 million, as high usually as $50 million. So just
now, and
just
umbrella
depends.
Policies are, they're not crazy expensive though, are they?
No, typically not. It depends on what your underlying is. How many homes do you have? How many cars do you have? And they're rated that way. So no.
Now is theft an issue for your clients? Is that like something that they, that's an important consideration for them?
It is, fire, theft, you know,
or
windstorms.
More natural disaster.
It depends on what part of the country I think you live in as far as natural disasters. All of us would be concerned with theft. We have a tremendous amount of clients that travel. Mm-hmm. And
so were their places vacant for periods of time?
Their places are vacant, or they travel with a lot of jewelry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of exposure, a lot of
right.
potential for loss there. So we do see a number of thefts or losses with jewelry when they're traveling.
Now, with the natural disasters, you know, with like Sandy's been in the news,
mm-hmm.
Do you have clients that you had to help through that?
We did. Lane McVicker has 9 offices in the United States, and 2 of our offices were in the heart of Sandy. One is in New York City, and one is in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to take all of the New York telephone calls for about 10 days while they were without power.
Wow.
And so forth. And it was a very eye-opening experience. It was very humbling to talk with some of these people, and you know, difficult to understand where they're at.
Right, and that's probably the value, or one of the values of working with a firm like yours, is it is relationship-driven.
Very.
And those phone calls and kind of making, you know, having them relax and allay some of their fears is an important component of what they're paying for when they work with you guys.
That is correct. Absolutely, yes, because, you know, even like the insurance companies, some of those that these people were insured with, they were also affected.
Right.
Their offices were affected.
There, right
their
in the
employees,
middle.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, to know that they could actually speak with a human.
Human being instead of,
yes.
you know, through a phone tree. You
yes.
know.
And one of the things that we do on a regular basis throughout the entire year is we alternate, my associates and I in the Atlanta office, we alternate with our cell phones, and the phones are forwarded to us after hours.
Mm-hmm.
So for the clients that were calling on Saturday night at 10 o'clock, there was someone there to answer
right.
the phone and talk with them.
And that's the thing when you're dealing with that kind of a clientele, that you better have that super service.
Yes.
That's their
absolutely.
Expectations.
They
you're
want
there
you.
When they
yes.
need you.
Yes. That is exactly right. And if they're in Europe and it's 6 hours time difference,
it's not their problem.
It's not their problem. Yes, sir. Can I help you?
Now, is that the same? Do you hold your trusted advisors to that same kind of standard?
We try to, yes. Yes,
that's
definitely.
Important that everybody's on the same page philosophically,
absolutely,
right?
Yes. We want to make sure that their business tactics, their beliefs, that the way they work with their clients are very similar to ours.
Right.
Yes.
And then so do you find that those trusted advisor relationships are more collaborative than maybe in other industries? Like they're not just a vendor for you. You guys
correct.
All have to work together
yes.
kind of pretty closely, I would
yes.
think.
Yes, yes. We're all working towards, you know, the betterment of that individual
right. and
client.
You're all trying to serve that person.
Correct.
Right.
Yes.
So what's the deal on flood insurance? Can you only get it where you don't need it? There's all this mystery around flood insurance for the average Joe. Enlighten
yeah.
us a little bit, if you will.
Well, I love when I'm speaking with someone and they, you know, you mention flood insurance. Oh, I don't need that. I don't live in a flood zone. Well, newsflash, we all live in a flood zone. If you recall, here in Atlanta a couple of years ago, there was a lot of properties that were flooded that had never been flooded in the past. Well, we all do live in a flood zone. It depends on which zone you live in as to the possibility or prediction of whether your property will be flooded or not. So more and more, I think the general public are seeing places flood that have never flooded or they never thought would flood. So it's becoming more prevalent for us. We're having that discussion more and more with every potential client as well as every existing client.
So let's make sure that our listeners know how to get in touch with you, and particularly perhaps in your situation where you have this niche target market that you serve, maybe some folks that you really want to reach out and get to know or additional potential trusted advisors.
Absolutely.
But let's give them some coordinates so they know how to reach out.
Well, my email address is a good way to reach me. It's Penny, P-E-N-N-E, dot Cruz, C-R-E-W-S, at lanemcvicker.com, or phone number 678-393-6330. I am on LinkedIn, and our website is www.lanemcvicker.com.
Now, if you were to rank order trusted advisors, you like to network best with financial planners or wealth management firms?
Yes.
Is your first choice? Or
typically would be our first
attorneys?
Choice. Yes. Your financial planners, wealth advisors know the clients and work with them more on a day-to-day basis. Estate attorneys are brought in much like I would be to work with the client and, you know, manage things throughout the years as they acquire.
So you're always looking to have conversations with them.
Yes, absolutely.
So if they called and wanted to chat, you'd
absolutely
be happy to chat.
I would be happy to chat with them, meet them for lunch. Absolutely.
All right, great.
And I can vouch that it will be a delightful conversation. So thanks so much for coming
Thank
to visit
you.
With us this
Thank
morning.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Bringing it all home for us, Lee, on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, we now have with us from Ackerman and Company, a very patient, poised Miss Michelle Thomas. How you doing, sunshine?
Good morning. I'm great, thanks.
And you have been patient, and you've been listening, and I suspect you've probably learned some things just like we have during the first part of the show, huh?
I certainly have. Two interesting women here.
So tell us a little bit about what Ackerman and Company's out there doing for folks, the kind of problems you're solving.
Ackerman & Company is a commercial real estate firm. We're a full-service real estate firm. We have an investment division. We have a management division where we manage other properties. And we have the brokerage division. So I'm in the brokerage division.
Now, what side of the brokerage division are you on? Do you represent the buildings or the tenants? Or
tenant. I focus solely on tenant representation.
Tenant. Can you maybe educate our listeners a little bit about why that's different than
the landlord?
Right.
Because I have options. Yeah. I can basically take them to other buildings. whereas if I'm representing a landlord, I'm definitely going to.
Right, like if somebody wanted to get office space, they can go to the building, and then a lot of times there's somebody there that's going to sell them space in the building, right?
Yes.
And then there's people like you, like a tenant representative, where I can go to you and say I want these things, and you'll take me to five different buildings that will meet my needs.
Exactly. And I'm looking out for you, whereas the person that you're calling on the sign that's in front of the building, they are looking out for the landlord primarily, and then for you. So as a tenant representative, you are not paying for my services.
So I don't pay for your services?
You don't pay for my services. In fact, if you don't bring someone to represent you, that landlord rep that you called initially gets both sides. So what happens
is... it's a double win for them.
Right. So what happens is I come in and take part of their money and make them mad and give you what you want.
So you're kind of watching my back.
Exactly. Right. That is my purpose.
So do they grit their teeth when they see you coming?
Well, in actuality... I think more on the residential side they do, but as far as commercial, I think they're happier when we come along because we are able to facilitate the process. We can help it.
Because you're answering all my dumb questions, right?
Right.
Before you're, and you're bringing in qualified people that are serious about getting some
space. Exactly. We've pre-qualified folks and checked out their financials.
Right. So when you're coming, they know that they have somebody that's really serious about doing
exactly.
this.
Exactly. And they don't have to do as much. I'm here to help. So, yeah.
But this is a very consultative role, I would think, because let's say you and I are going out and we're going to looking for space. We think we know what we want, but let's be honest. We really don't even know what we want, right? We're going to Birmingham. We want to open a new studio.
Right.
We got to sit down with somebody to get a little bit of guidance. So you're like part therapist, part counselor.
Yes. I get to know my clients very well.
So can you walk us through what that engagement looks like? So they tell you, oh, we're looking to expand or contract, and they say, I think I need this many square feet, or do you help them even determine the size of the space?
Like, I do. Well, fortunately, my undergraduate degree is in interior design, so I'm pretty good with space planning. But I do work with other space planners if necessary. Mm-hmm. But if they're telling me, because I'm working with a client right now, she thought she was good with about 1,200 square feet. We'll come to find out she needs about 1,700.
Right.
So I will talk to you about your needs first, and then we will determine what you need based on that.
And then is location, like then you move right to location? Or what's the order of things?
Well, I want to find out their timeline. I want to find out what they're looking for, what type of visibility they need, whether or not they need it, what their budget is. That's very important. Location, being centrally located for everyone that's in the office.
Right.
Do we want to be closer to the boss's house? Do we, you know, that right. sort of thing. So, yes.
What about, like, parking? Because I know we do parking work downtown. And
yeah, that would be important to us.
Parking is very
important.
It adds
up quickly.
I have a client now that needs 60 parking spaces. So,
60 parking.
Yeah.
So is that part of the negotiation? Like sometimes the building
Definitely.
Can say I can throw in so many parking spaces
Definitely.
Or at a certain rate?
Usually it's most people are around one per 5,000, or I'm sorry, per 1,000 square feet. So mm-hmm. If you have 5,000 square feet, two per 1,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need more, then I'm going to have to negotiate that and write it into the lease. So, yes.
So you mentioned timeline a little earlier. When should we come start working with you? How far out?
Most
like
deals,
a couple weeks.
A rush job
90
is
days.
Right. I know. I have that. Rush is going to be 3 months, to be honest with
oh,
you.
Oh wow!
So we really need to talk like 6 months in advance.
Because that gives you more leverage, even if you decide to stay, right?
In the space where you are,
right?
Yes. Yes, because I renegotiate your lease also.
Oh, so you can do that. So if we go through this whole process and we decide to stay, we can still work with you and you can renegotiate
certainly,
our lease.
Certainly. But usually hopefully your landlord has talked to you before the 3 months where you are presently.
Right.
So we still need to come talk even earlier than that with that.
Now, in some, you know, with the market fluctuating as it has over the last few years, the pendulum swung to the lessee, right? Like I have,
yes.
me as the tenant now have some
yes.
some power that maybe I didn't have
correct.
Previously. So can you help me kind of squeeze out some extra benefits if it's mid-lease, say?
If it's mid-lease?
Like, say now it's like I'm 3 years in a five
This conversation
lease.
Just got very untheoretical, in case you're wondering. Kevin's over there smiling. We all know this is a real conversation happening right now.
We can renew early.
Right, because
yes.
now
yes.
I have, because I can go, look, you know, I may have a few years left,
right.
but there's a lot of options here, and there's a lot of people that would love for me to be there.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then maybe it's a good idea for both of us to kind of
to
recalibrate
talk.
This situation.
Exactly. So I keep in touch. Even when you're in the, if I put you in the space, I'm keeping
right.
in touch with you. If you're in a five-year lease, I'm talking to you year three. You're exactly right.
Right.
Exactly right, yeah.
So what do you spend your time mostly doing? It's just kind of nurturing these relationships, or are you like how do people even know to contact you as opposed to the other tenant reps that are out there?
I want to say that I spend a lot of time marketing, but you're right. I'm spending most of my time with the present clients.
Right.
So I try to dedicate time to networking, to cold calls, to things like that. But honestly, you spend a lot of time handholding your client throughout
right.
the
and then you get referral, but they don't move a lot. I mean, people move every few years. That's like a hassle to move.
Right.
right?
I mean, unless you're working with Michelle.
Right, but nobody
know,
likes,
right?
yeah, well, let's move and shut down for a few weeks while
right.
we, you know.
You've got letterheads. You've got,
right,
I mean, everything.
Changes,
exactly,
you know.
Exactly.
So what's your sweet spot in terms of client? Like what size are they typically?
I like to work with companies that are over 2 years old.
Right.
They have 5 to 20 employees, and they need somewhere between 1,500 to 5,000 square feet.
Are these like kind of, do you work with like the startup community in terms
I
of they're emerging, you know, they're ready to take that, maybe they got some funding and now they're ready to take that the next
exactly.
step?
And I can help with that as well. With
really?
Them. I have sources that will say, you know, that,
right.
that they will can help them.
So how do you plug into that world? How do they know about you in that world? Do you attend those events? Is that where you do your
Definitely.
When you do
ProWin is an excellent example.
Right.
We had a woman come and speak last week about she only funds entrepreneurs.
Right.
So basically that was a good source to have. And I network a lot with business bankers.
Business bankers.
Yes.
So there's bankers around town that specialize in the same group of people?
Mm-hmm. solely business, exactly.
So how does that relationship, how do you just have like lunch with them all the time?
Exactly, yeah, they like me.
So you take them out to lunch, that's not the life.
So. You're remarkably fit for a professional lunching networker. So, do you have this whole Rolodex, you know, half of our listeners aren't old enough to even know what a Rolodex is. This whole database of go-to people, like, you know the guy that's the best at boxing everything else, and moving it up. You know the good painter. You know the good art person.
Exactly.
Yeah, you have
exactly.
A lot of these go-to folks.
It's really important for me to have that because I want to make the transition as seamless as possible for
right.
my client. So if they need someone to do their graphics, if they need someone to do their moving for them, whatever they need, I want to be able to provide it for
right,
them, at least a recommendation.
Right, because like you were saying, it's very disruptive to move. So if you're going to move, you may want to redo your logo
exactly.
or do something because you have to change it anyway.
Exactly.
So that may be a good opportunity to kind of refresh things.
Or you may be merging or starting your own company,
right.
leaving another company sort of thing. So, yeah, definitely.
So now do you have any tips for people that are, if you're in the moving process, like what would you be doing? Like, you want to obviously call you first, but like...
That's tip number one. Call Michelle.
But if they were to kind of... get ready to have a meeting for you. Do you want them to kind of drive around to see what parts of town that they like or buildings or things like that? Or is it better if they come with kind of a blank slate?
It's better if they come with a blank slate. I mean, they know where they are and they know where
right.
they'd want to be, but ideally it's best if you let your broker work for you. They're getting paid to do it. So
right.
just call them up and let them work for you.
Because there's so many buildings around town that they look great on the outside,
yeah.
but
in
the inside, it
yeah.
may not be such a
exactly.
great place to be, right?
Exactly. And that's part of knowing your area as well and previewing the properties prior to taking your client out. So you're familiar with what's there. You're familiar with what the landlord is offering, what they say they're offering versus
right.
what you know you can get because other brokers have done it or you've done it in that building. So, yeah.
And then because if you just went into the building, they would give you a rate. And if you don't have any frame of references that high or low,
exactly.
you're like, oh, it sounds like a good rate.
Exactly.
You know?
yeah.
Where you can kind of decide, well, that's ridiculous.
Right.
You know?
And they make it sound good. You know, we'll give you a whole month of free rent. Whereas if with 5 years, I'm coming in asking for 5 months of free rent. So, you know, that sort
right.
of thing.
So because you know what to ask. Like,
right.
I don't know what I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, we don't even know what to ask now. Metro Atlanta area only or you have colleagues that you might refer them to another town?
Yes.
Or
Ackerman is part of Core Network. So if we need to go outside of the state, and we have brokers in the office that do work outside of the state, but Ackerman
right.
is primarily based here. But if I need to service a client in Los Angeles, I can do so as well.
Do you ever get leads like from people that want to open an Atlanta office?
Yes, a lot. You find people coming in from out of town wanting to open an office here.
Uh-huh.
It's a booming town.
So how do you get on, they find you on the web or how do they even know?
Exactly. They'll either call or they're referred by someone else sort mm-hmm. of thing, yes.
And so they decide like, hey, I'm going to open an office here and they have no idea what's like a good school because like, you got to probably
right.
help them with things like that.
Traffic.
Right, you know.
Where their clientele will be, you know, where they would have the best reach for their clientele. So,
right.
yes, of course. We can help with all of
and
that.
And that's part of, as a tenant rep, that stuff you do as well?
That's the stuff I do.
What percentage of your business is relocations like that?
Probably about 10%, to be
okay.
honest with you. I focus mainly on folks here in Atlanta.
Here in town.
Correct.
But how comforting would that be for like an organization like ours? Just pick up the phone, call Michelle and say, hey, we need to open another studio. They get to working with you. They know kind of what you need. They know what to look for.
Right.
Instead of you and I traipsing around everywhere looking
right.
at space.
I guess that's
it's
what
fantastic.
You do. As a company grows and you have a relationship with them, you know what their needs are. So
exactly.
And
exactly. And I'm pretty good at pulling it out over the phone, talking to people.
Uh-huh.
9 times out of 10 when they come to me, they don't know. So I start asking those questions.
Right.
What do you need? How do you guys operate in the business every day? What do you do? How late are you there? Just those sorts of questions to figure out what they need and what type of exposure they need, timeline, their future goals. That's very important. Do you need to expand in a few years? You
right.
know, are you guys downsizing in a few years? You know, just whatever, just to ask them to really probe and get those questions answered so that I can determine or help them determine what they need. As far
right,
as
the best fit. Now, if somebody wants to learn more, do you have a website?
Yes. Ackerman's website is www.ackermanco.com. And you can reach me at mthomas, T-H-O-M-A-S, at ackermanco.net.
And then they can find just general information about Ackerman, and then they can drill down to where you are?
Exactly. If you go on the website and you put in Michelle Thomas, you can find me, and you'll find my bio there and everything.
And do you have a part of town that you work with primarily, or it's anywhere in the metro area?
I like to say that I specialize in office representation in the northeastern corridor of Atlanta, but it seems like I end up everywhere, so I'm here to help.
That's right. Atlanta's a driving town.
Yes, it is.
For people who don't know. So driving is part of every day. All right. Well, thank you all so much for being part of the show. This is, again, a ProWin special edition. If anybody wants to learn more about ProWin, you can go to ProWin's website, ProWin.com. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton and our guest today. We will see you all next week on Atlanta Business Radio.